and Americans for the Arts.
Welcome to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. Today, we'll hear from an organizer of a strike of fast food workers. They're striking because of a recent incident at a St. Petersburg McDonald's where a customer grabbed a worker. We'll take your questions. I want to know if you saw the video and what your thoughts are. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can also email DJ at WMNF.org. You can text 813-433-0885. Some Pinellas County fast food workers are striking after a female colleague was attacked by a customer. A viral video shows Daniel Taylor grabbing Jasmine James's shirt and attempting to pull her over the counter after he asked for a straw at a St. Petersburg McDonald's last week. James hit him several times in the face. Let's hear that short video of that confrontation, and I've bleeped out a lot of the expletives.
Wait.
Hey, John.
All right, well, that's audio from the video that you may have seen. Have you seen that video? What are your thoughts? In that video, Daniel Taylor, the customer, grabbed Yasmin James's shirt and attempted to pull her over the counter after he asked for a straw at a St. Petersburg McDonald's last week. Taylor was charged with two counts of simple battery. Police say he also kicked another worker as he was being escorted out. I want to play a very short clip now from an interview with Jasmine James after the incident. It was posted on the News 10 website, and after that, we'll be right back to talk with one of the organizers of the strike that we'll tell you about. So here is Jasmine James talking about the incident afterwards.
Well, a customer came up to me and asked for a scrawl, and I gave it to him with a smile on my face. He didn't understand. I noticed that he was upset, though, but next thing I know, he's like, you need to do your effing job. And I was like, no, sir, that's not my job. We don't keep straws in the lobby now. You have to request them. He was like, no, that's not how it goes. You're going to put them in there. You keep them in there. That's not how it works. I'm like, no, sir, that's how it works. He's like, you need a fish straws. That's your job. Do your effing job. I'm like, no, that's not my job. And you're very getting like outraged. Children in here. He's like, I don't care about nothing. You do what I say and all this. And I'm like, okay. Then he start threatening me, saying, if your mom would do this. And I'm like, okay, do it then. That's fine. And so I, you know, like just step back because I noticed he was like putting his hands out and stuff. That's why I got scared because I'm like, I don't know what he's going to do. I'm like, let me back up a little bit. So, and that's when he just kept on going on. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Next thing you know, he grabbed me, and that really scared me because I didn't know if he had a gun or a knife or what, because like usually things are more crazier nowadays. And when he grabbed me, I just, my main thing was like to get him off me the best way I knew, like just let me go, because I don't know you for nothing. You just super Satan grabbed me.
Now, did you watch the video back?
Yes.
You watched it. Girl, you was fighting, girl. What kicked in? What made you just say, no, this is not happening?
I was scared, so I just wanted him to just get off. It was just, get this man off me. Just please get off me. That's all I was just saying. Just get off me. And he had to go. Because I was, don't know what he was going to do.
Well, that was Jasmine James speaking after an incident last week that That video was posted on News 10 website. The group Fight for 15 says it will strike during tomorrow's lunch rush to demand McDonald's and other fast food chains protect workers from safety threats. One McDonald's employee, Gail Rogers, said in a statement that she's planning to strike because she doesn't feel safe on the job and that she and other employees are subjected to all types of behavior, including armed robberies and sexual harassment. Well, joining us today by phone is Kofi Hunt. He's political director with Fight for 15 Florida. Welcome back to WMNF's Midpoint, Kofi.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, remind people what Fight for 15 is.
Fight for 15 is a movement that started in 2013, initially primarily advocating for living wages and union rights for fast food workers and for all workers, really, but primarily around fast food workers. And we've grown since then to encompass a broad array of issues. But at our core, we're about solidarity of workers, and that's why we're coming out tomorrow afternoon.
What does a typical fast food worker like Jasmine make?
A typical fast food worker starts around $8.50, and the raises vary from there, but they're very small. Here in the state of Florida, workers have benefited from the small incremental increases come because of a ballot initiative happened in 2004, attacking our minimum wage to inflation. But fast food workers are making far too little to live all across the country, except for areas that have taken up the $15 minimum wage.
And when you saw the video that happened inside the McDonald's, what were you thinking? What went through your mind about how that worker was being treated?
It was shocking. The first thing was the fact that you can hear her saying like how she was afraid and how she just wanted him off of her. I mean, the first thing is that she seemed alone, even though she was in a room surrounded by people, that she was being attacked and no one was standing there to support her. I mean, that's one of the reasons people have kind of asked, well, why are you coming out? Why are you doing this? And you know, we're an organization of fast food workers, and we're coming out because we're showing solidarity and support to this young sister who was assaulted. And even though she was in a room with other people, she didn't have that support. And so we're coming to show that support and bring out people from the community as well.
Our guest is Kofi Hunt. He's political director with Fight for 15 Florida. And we're talking about the videoed incident last week at a McDonald's where a worker was grabbed by a customer and the customer was arrested. And they're organizing a strike tomorrow. You're helping to organize a strike of workers. And the number here to call in if you'd like to ask Kofi a question is 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. It's 12:14 in the afternoon, and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. This is Midpoint Monday. My name is Sean Canaan, and we're speaking with Kofi Hunt. Kofi, you're helping to organize a strike of workers. It's called Strike Justice for Yasmin, hashtag last straw, and it's at the McDonald's at 4595 34th Street South tomorrow. What time tomorrow? And tell us more about why you're organizing this strike.
Yes, thank you, Sean. We're asking people to come out about 10:45. The event will kick off about 11. We're doing this event to say that McDonald's employees deserve to work in a safe environment. You know, like Yasmin said in the video, in the audio you played, it wasn't like it was spontaneous. Like it was an escalating situation, and the manager at the facility was right there. You could see him on the video that he was just standing maybe 3 feet behind her. Even McDonald's came out shortly after the incident and said that the manager didn't follow proper procedure. Like, there's no reason that a young woman should have to be confronted by a belligerent customer, or anybody should have to, any employee should be confronted by a belligerent customer, and no one is stepping up to address the person and de-escalate the situation, or to very least protect the staff and call for police. There was no real retroactive. And then even when he did assault her, everyone froze. It was like no one knew what to do. And that's a very human response, but McDonald's has a responsibility to its employees to make sure safe on the
street. You're breaking up a bit, Kofi. Are you moving right now?
Moving?
Your phone is breaking up. You're losing connection.
Oh, sorry.
So you were talking about how it was a human response by the workers.
Yeah, it's a human response, you know, when you see some sort of spontaneous violence that, you know, you might be shocked, and obviously a lot of people are shocked, but McDonald's has a bigger responsibility to take care of its workers, and so that's why we're having this event. Like, we have all of our events to give a voice to workers and make sure that they know that they're supported.
Well, our guest is Kofi Hunt. He's political director with Fight for 15 Florida. Kofi, I'm going to take a phone call question for you for right now, and then we'll come back to the interview. So we have a question from Rands, in Wesley Chapel. Hi, Rands.
Hey, man. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thank you. First of all, I want to commend the young lady for fighting back. And I was angry at the workers who stood by and didn't do anything about it. If somebody attacked one of my coworkers, female or male, especially female, I'm jumping into the fray. I don't really give a damn about if I lose a job after that. That's the automatic response. You're supposed to be watching the back of your fellow employees. It's important.
What kind of work do you do? If you would like to give me that information,
sir.
You mentioned that if this happened in your workplace, that you would respond differently. Do you want to tell people what you do?
I work for the government. I don't really want to say. I'm away to work right now, so I don't really want to say where I work at, but I work for the government. But if one of my employees, one of my coworker, female coworker, has been attacked, or one of my customers for that matter, I'm going to jump in. I'll think about the consequences later. It's just me. It's my culture. You know, I'm from Jamaica. We don't watch, sit around and watch females being beaten up by big grown males and don't do nothing about it. That's just about it. Okay?
All right. Thank you. Do you have any questions for Kofi?
No. It's just more like a comment.
Thanks. I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for that thought. All right. So, Kofi, you heard that response from someone who said, have you been hearing that from other people, that they were surprised at how no one else kind of reacted? They just kind of let this customer attack the employee.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few people. And, you know, we're all seeing it after the fact. I think one of the big things we're saying is that, you know, McDonald's needs to put their staff and their management through, you know, training to make sure that it is a safe work environment, to make sure that, and you know, it's this is physical violence, but a lot of fast food workers deal with verbal abuse all the time. And we want to make sure that that's addressed as well. You know, this is the only unique thing about this incident is that it was caught on video. These sort of incidences happen all throughout the country. And we need to bring a spotlight to it to stop it from happening. And I mean, yeah, it's like hopefully with training, then people can, when you see a belligerent customer, they get addressed and the situation gets de-escalated. And if it does escalate, that people are put through training to make sure that they can be safe.
Kofi Hunt is one of the organizers of a strike of workers tomorrow at 10:45 or 11 in the morning. It's called Strike Justice for Yasmin, hashtag Last Straw. It's at the McDonald's at 4595 34th Street South in St. Petersburg. Do you know how many workers you expect to be participating?
Yeah, we should have about 30 workers that will be going on strike. They're coming from all over the state to support Yasmin.
Anyone else from her McDonald's?
From her McDonald's, Fight for 15 hasn't primarily been in Pinellas County, for the past few years, so I'm not quite sure if we'll have some from her, Zach McDonald's, but she herself will be. be there in attendance to speak.
Our guest is Kofi Hunt. He's political director with Fight 415 Florida. I'm going to read a text message that came in from the 813 area code. If you do send a text, why don't you send your name as well, because that's the only other way I'll have to identify you would be your area code. This person writes in, who is the franchise owner where the straw incident occurred? Is it Casper's, which owns several locations in the Tampa area? So that's a text from the 813 area code.
Yes, it is a Casper Corporation's McDonald's. Casper owns a majority of the franchises in the Tampa Bay area, and they have been consistent sort of rival to Fight for 15 in terms of usually they bring out like a lot of security, even though we just do protests. We're not, you know, adversarial at all. They have a responsibility as well as McDonald's to make sure that it's a safe work environment. Absolutely.
Our guest is Kofi Hunt, political director with Fight for 15 Florida. We're talking about some Pinellas County fast food workers and others from across the state of Florida are striking after a female colleague was attacked by a customer. And earlier in the hour, we played audio from a viral video that shows Daniel Taylor grabbing Yasmin James's shirt and attempting to pull her over the counter after he asked for a straw at a St. Petersburg McDonald's last week. And Kofi, this is something I'm not sure you would know about this, but I wonder, and if you've heard anything from Yasmin or from any of the other employees about I guess it's some controversy or some tension between people who expect straws all the time versus efforts by environmentalists, including in St. Petersburg, to have fewer straws available, to try to cut down on straws. Have you gotten any indication that that was part of what started this conflict?
I think that there was a lot of situations that led to this. Obviously, the customer is being belligerent. I mean, I have heard some frustration from the change limiting straws in St. Pete. But I haven't heard, like, a huge controversy. It's a new policy. If anybody goes to like a McDonald's in St. Pete now, yeah, the straws aren't sitting out there. You have to ask for one. And I understand people be frustrated for that, but there's no reason to lead to violence. I think that, plastics in our environment is a serious issue and the straw ban is a good idea. But we have to make sure that people understand that they need to respect one another and, not lead to issues of violence and assault like what we saw.
If you'd like to join this conversation, the number is 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. My guest is Kofi Hunt, political director with Fight for 15 Florida. It's 12:24 in the afternoon, and we have an email that came in from David. And David is asking, has the union asked for solidarity from other unions during the lunch hour tomorrow? And is anyone asking customers to boycott fast food places tomorrow during the lunch hour?
No, we're not calling for a boycott. We've reached out to a number of groups, inviting them to come, inviting them to bring their membership. We put this event together very quickly because we wanted to make sure to show Yasmin support as soon as possible. So we haven't had the more direct sort of outreach that we typically have for larger events. We have put the word out there. In terms of boycotting, we never call for a boycott at McDonald's or other fast food restaurants because our workers, our members do work at these facilities, and we want to make sure, that support their workplace. We don't want to undermine their ability to take care of their family and earn a paycheck. But we do call for greater responsibility from McDonald's and other fast food stores in terms of providing safe, healthy environment for their workers and obviously paying their workers a living wage.
So Kofi, one more time, where and when is this strike? And It's in South St. Petersburg at the McDonald's. What's the address and what time tomorrow?
The address for the McDonald's is it's on 46th Avenue and 34th Street South in St. Petersburg, and we will be out there at about 11 a.m. But if people could be there about 10:45, we really appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to let you go in just a minute, but let's hear a question first from Jack in Tampa. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. My question to Mr. Hunt is, you know, with the allegations of the sexual abuse or other harassment, has anybody filed anything within the last 6 months of the EEOC, and does his organization help them with regards to filing a complaint for the assault with the EEOC?
Kofi? Kofi, are you still there?
Hey, sorry, I was checking to see if I muted or not. Yes, we have, in the past 6 months, we have, throughout the state, filed a few reports of sexual harassment. We did some press activities about it, highlighting the workers, sharing their stories, and that they were entering into the lawsuits on that. Yasmin has retained legal counsel, so we're offering whatever support is necessary, but we also are respecting her own process with filing EOC and other complaints.
All right, thank you for that question, Jack. Kofi Hunt, political director with Fight for 15 Florida. Any last words before I let you go? What should people know, or what would you like to leave them with?
We're just inviting everyone to come out, show their support for Yasmin. It's one thing to post on Facebook or share something saying that's outrageous, and it's another thing to come out and show your support for a young woman who, in a moment of crisis, felt alone. Come out, feel free to make up a sign and bring it out, in support of Yasmin. And, we really appreciate, the love and support that we've gotten from the community in the past. And we look to grow even more in the future and to provide the best work environment for workers possible, all throughout the state of Florida. And, thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining me on WMNF's Midpoint, Kofi.
All right, you're welcome. All right, take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Kofi Hunt is political director with Fight for 15 Florida. He's helping to organize a strike of fast food workers tomorrow. On the Facebook event page is called Strike Justice for Yasmin, hashtag Last Straw. It's at the McDonald's in South St. Petersburg at 4595 34th Street South at 11 in the morning. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. We're going to be right back after a short music break. And meanwhile, you can call in if you have any thoughts about this, if you'd like to say your thoughts on the air, or at that number is 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org or text 813-433-0885. We'll be back in 1 minute with Midpoint. Chan Chan by Buena Vista Social Club. Well, welcome back to Midpoint. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. It's 12:30 in the afternoon on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa and WMNF.org. You might also be listening on the the WMNF app. Thanks for joining us. And so earlier in the show, we talked about the strike of workers, strike justice for Yasmin, last straw. That's at the McDonald's tomorrow. And we can still talk about that if you'd like. Our guest isn't with us anymore. I'm also going to play a story or two about the issue of guns in Florida, because I think as the legislative session comes up this spring and late winter and early spring, that guns will definitely be on the agenda again, and we'll see what's going to happen with that. And I have a couple of stories I could play for that if we get to those. But the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. And as I said, you can still talk about your thoughts about the video that was posted last week about the assault at the McDonald's. Maybe we should say alleged assault, because there hasn't been any convictions. But you saw what you saw, right? Jeanette says, why isn't there security guards in the location? Was it racially motivated? Those are two questions that I don't have an answer for about the security guards at the location. Maybe if anyone was there or knows that site, if they ever see security guards there, or was it racially motivated? Now, I should say that the man who was arrested, the customer who accosted the worker, the man was white, and the young lady is a black woman. So I don't know whether the attack was racially motivated. That's all I know about that. So 813-239-9663. Let me turn our attention right now and to the issue of guns. Last week, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Commission released the first draft of its report. And we're going to hear a story from Sean Mulcahy, who says advisors to Governor-elect Ron DeSantis say they want more action on school safety. After this report, we'll be right back to talk more and to take your calls. 813-239-9663. Here's the report from Sean Mulcahy.
Members of the Governor-elect's Public Safety Transition Team are teeing up for a fight between the state and local school boards. Although the legislature passed sweeping school safety reforms after last year's Parkland shooting, they've been slow to take effect. A big sticking point for many superintendents is the Guardian program. It allows for armed guards on campuses. But many districts have refused to participate. Florida Office of Safe Schools Director Damian Miller, however, wants to continue to grow the program.
I see the Guardian program as the only option for certain school districts and certain counties, and I'm very happy that we have that program available.
Andy Pollock, whose daughter was killed in the Parkland shooting, agrees.
Bureaucrats don't understand police work. We need to take the bureaucrats out of the mix of policing in schools and give it to the police departments and the sheriff's department.
The MSD Commission wants to expand the Guardian program and arm teachers. But Patrick Miller, president of the private security firm Invictus, is pushing a private sector contract option.
With the drawdown in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other areas of the world, we have well-trained security assets who can supplement law enforcement as a force multiplier and as a cost-effective option here in the state of Florida.
Lawmakers discussed arming teachers last session, but faced blowback from education advocates and teachers' unions. Another issue eyed by Public Safety Transition Chairman Kent Sturman is mandatory safety reporting. Schools have missed deadlines or not reported at all. And some, like Clay County Sheriff Daryl Daniels, argue schools are doing this intentionally.
When we determine whether there's compliance or non-compliance, we need to make a determination whether or not it's done ignorantly or purposely, speaking specifically to non-compliance. And we have nothing in place to hold people accountable who make a conscious decision not to comply with the law. This is the law.
Daniels recommends bringing criminal charges against administrators who don't comply. Jeff Bell of the Broward Sheriff's Office Deputies Association suggests a more mellowed approach, docking funding or tying reporting into school grades.
You can attach a rating or add in an additional component to the school rating that are highly regarded by our schools to attract charters and magnet programs into their schools, and whether or not they're compliant to these new standards that are being put into effect here in Florida.
Advisors also want to change the way law enforcement, mental health professionals, and school staff interact. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd is calling for a cultural change in addressing school safety.
The legislature has got to make it a priority. The governor has got to make it a priority. We have got to mandate and force some of these culture changes, as has been spoken about, because they absolutely unequivocally aren't going to change on their own. And that's not exclusively school systems. That's also law enforcement response, mental health response as well.
The idea of a culture change is echoed by Florida Department of Law Enforcement Commissioner Rick Swearingen. In the case of the Parkland shooting, he notes failures of the education system, police, and mental health providers. And he says,
one of the most important things to note is that many of these failures were the result of the culture surrounding school safety. There must be a change in this culture if we are to prevent future incidents.
Going hand in hand with changing the way officials view school safety is changing the way law enforcement interacts with schools. At the crux of it, says Chairman Sturman, is finding people equipped to address school safety.
It's alarming to me how difficult it is to find the people who are qualified and willing to do this work.
That's in part because many education advocates have fought back against parts of the 2018 school safety measures, and the issue will likely play a key role in this year's legislative session as well. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sean Mulcahy.
Well, that's talking somewhat about the school safety, the gun violence problems in our state. And we'll hear a lot more about that, I'm sure, this winter and spring as when the legislature's in session. So I want to know what you think about the gun issues that were brought up in there, specifically the Guardian program, what they're calling the Guardian program, where people who are not law enforcement officers are armed, trained, armed, and put in the schools. And there was a really interesting questionable maybe thought in that where they said that, well, there's a lot of mercenaries or hired guns who are in Afghanistan who are coming back, and so they would be a good candidate to have as armed people in schools. What are your thoughts on that? Also, the sheriff of Polk County, Grady Judd, said, well, there needs to be a culture change, and he specifically said we need to mandate the culture change. So I wondered what he has in mind there as far as mandating how the legislature or whoever it is mandates the change in culture. So what are your thoughts? The number to call in is 813-239-9663. We might hear another story about guns in Florida in just a minute, but I do want to get to some of these callers and some of the people who have emailed and texted in. The number to call in, 813-239-9663. You can also email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885 to talk about any of our topics today. And I'm going to read a couple of emails maybe right now. Mark writes, thanks for quickly jumping on this story. We've talked about this last week. We, in general, the station talked about this last week as well. I think Rob did a show on it or part of a show. And Mark says, adults are not babies, and unless they have an extreme dental situation, do not need straws to drink liquids. The straw ban is a great start to a huge problem, and no one should be in a situation while performing their work duties that involves verbal or physical abuse or any other form of intimidation or danger. So thank you for that note from Mark. He kind of points it out there. There are situations in which people have a medical necessity for straws, and that's taken into account in any kind of upcoming ban on straws in St. Petersburg. The ban won't go into effect for a year. But it is true that some people do need them, but a lot of us don't. So thanks for that email, Mark. Also, Dave writes in, good afternoon. I believe the gentleman was homeless and also intoxicated, not really a point of racially motivated men. Chances are maybe a little mental illness mixed in. So these are all speculations, I kind of heard a slurred speech when I listened to his speech. So I was wondering if he was intoxicated. So this Dave is suggesting that it's probably not a racially motivated attack, and I tend to say that that's possible. That's very likely. So thank you for that email. We also have Sammy in Tampa on the phone. Hi, Sammy. What are your thoughts?
Hey, yeah, I just heard the audio clip of the father of one of the students who was murdered in the school shooting, and listening to some of their rhetoric, you know, they're blaming teachers, they're blaming mental health professionals, and you know, if there's any sort of change that should happen towards guns, is we need to change our gun culture and the way we perceive guns. You know, just to kind of put it in perspective how lenient Florida gun laws are, I'm in a car right now, I'm not driving, I'm the passenger, and I just so happen to see a person at the bus stop. If I went and I handed him my firearm and I told him Happy New Year, there is no law that says that that is illegal or that that shouldn't be done. I could literally give it to this person and he could be on his merry way with it. You know, it probably is illegal for him to carry it without a license.
However, it's not illegal for me to give it to him.
And you wouldn't have to perform a background check to do that transaction?
No background check, no paperwork, nothing. Now, if you wanted to do some paperwork to protect yourself from the law, you could do so. However, it's unconstitutional to have any gun registration form. And yeah, I just wanted to put that in perspective. And I think me as a gun owner in the state of Florida, I think we need an immense amount of gun reform and change. And, you know, everybody who's logical, who owns guns, thinks the same thing. It's just we have a lot of people who are, you know, super pro-gun, and they're not willing to hear any arguments regarding anything about guns for some reason. You know, we're not carrying muskets anymore. We're carrying machines, and it's not a joke for someone to be carrying a machine that can take out 100, 200, 500 people plus, like we saw in Las Vegas. And that's just my input. Thank you very much. I love the show. I love WMNF and everything you guys do.
All right, Sammy, thanks so much for calling in. I thank you for that perspective, as it sounded like you are a gun owner and you had some perspectives on that. So appreciate you bringing up those thoughts. Thanks for calling in. So the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. You can also text 813-433-0885. It's 12:41 in the afternoon. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday. We've talked about a couple of topics so far, so let me remind you that we can either talk about this whatever subject you like, but school safety and guns is one of the topics. And earlier in the show, we heard from an organizer who is helping to organize a strike of fast food workers in St. Petersburg tomorrow morning and early afternoon, the lunch hour. Because of an attack that happened against a fast food worker. So the number to call in is 813-239-9663. Let me read an email from David. David says, another good reason to avoid fast food is that it's awful for your health. I encourage folks to take a little time and cook from home and eat healthier. And David goes on to say, don't eat that McDonald's, he says a marginally bad word, or that scary Taco Bell gruel with their Z-grade meat. So those are the thoughts of one of our emailers and listeners, David out there in cyberspace. So thank you for that email, David. And let's go to back to the phones. Jack in Tampa. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Sean. Sean, I have just a question, I guess. I'm wondering if, Google, since the GPSs, they now have a GPS watch, if they have any plans, or have you heard of them having any plans for something that could assist with gun control?
That is not something that I have heard of, but I will look into it. I don't know what Google's position is on gun control, or if they'd want to keep tabs on their customers in that way. I know they definitely, I'll use the word, invade the privacy of their users in a lot of ways.
I'm just thinking that possibly a gun lock that had GPS on it, so that a homeowner could track their own gun if somebody were to come in and steal it, or if their child took it out of the house, you know, that it might be able to give out an alert of some kind. That's kind of where I'm going with this.
Okay, great. Thanks for that question. And maybe somebody who knows a lot more about that kind of thing can call in and let us know. I was maybe distracted a little bit by the Google aspect of your question, but whether there's some sort of way to track guns when you have a gun, when you buy a gun and own a gun, and some sort of tracking device that can be put on it, presumably small and unobtrusive, where if it does get stolen or lost, you can find it pretty easily, like you can with a mobile phone. So thanks for that question. I don't know the answer. Maybe somebody out there does, and maybe I'll probably after the show will be when I'll look into that. But that's a good question, so thank you for asking. Let's take a question from Mark in Tarpon Springs. Hi, Mark.
Hi. One of your callers said that there was no law about just giving someone a handgun or selling. And I have a CCL, and I own several guns. And
what's
every
a CCL?
Time I sell a gun.
Hang on.
Carry license.
Yeah, thanks. Concealed carry. Yep.
Yeah. And I've sold several guns. You always have to fill out a paperwork and send it in to the state if you want to be legal. As far as I know, it's actually against the law to just sell a gun. And I've done this several times, and quite often I'll just go to an actual gun dealer and have them take care of it, because they can do all the paperwork without having to worry about it. And I do try to stay legal with everything.
And
so
the gun deal
is actually a requirement to track the gun. And I know people, you know, break that law all the time. I think they should actually enforce it more. But I just wanted to put that in.
And just so I want to clarify a part of that, what you were saying. And when you go to a gun dealer, when you do the transaction that way, when the gun dealer gets involved, that triggers the requirement for the gun dealer to actually do a background check on the purchaser.
Right. Exactly.
And I think the point now, I think you're right as far as the person who is saying they would sell their gun at a bus stop. The part that I think that he was going for is the background check. And in that case, let's say there was some sort of transfer of ownership that they could do mm-hmm. with paperwork. The part that they wouldn't have to do because there was no gun dealer involved is they right. would not have to do a background check.
I think you're correct there. But there is actually required paperwork because when you buy a gun, you sign paperwork that says you will not sell or give this gun away without notifying the proper authority. So if you're actually following the law, you are required to let law enforcement know that you have no longer owned that gun.
All right. Thank you for that clarification. And again, I think that the part about the background check is an important additional part mm-hmm. to that.
I think it is as well.
And and sometimes people refer to that, and I know that the name is not perfect, but sometimes people refer to that exception as the gun show loophole, which sometimes people get upset when you say that because it doesn't mm-hmm. involve gun shows at all, which is true. But when people say gun show loophole, what they're specifically referring to is that when two private individuals exchange mm-hmm. exchange weapons, a background check is not required, and that is what people are referring to in that case.
Right, and I think that's wrong. And I'm a gun owner. I just don't. We should have stricter laws, definitely.
Mark, thanks for calling in. I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. 813-239-9663, dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. We have a couple of people on the line, so I'm going to make sure I get to the person who's been holding the longest. Oh, and you know what? I don't know if we've heard from a woman in a while, so I definitely, if you're a woman and you're calling in with an opinion, I will jump you to the top of the line. But right now, let's go to Tom in Lutz. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
I know you don't have a lot of time. I want to run this by real quick. Have two friends. One's an acquaintance. One's a very close friend. Okay? One lives in Avalon. The other guy lives on Treasure Island. Okay? Very secure areas. We were going to Burns one night with a guy that lives in Avalon. We got to Burns. He made a big production taking his handheld pistol out of his glove, out of his box, and putting it into another secure box that the valet couldn't get into. Same thing happened with my buddy who lives in Treasure Island. Now, I'm a sixth-generation Floridian. I was trained as a hunter as a young man, you know. I know the woods, all that good stuff. And my question to the handheld gun owners that live in protected communities, what the hell are you scared of? I'm not scared of anything that I need to that a Louisville Slugger couldn't handle. So that's my question to those folks, and I think you have every right to have them. I just don't know what you're scared of. Okay, that's all I got. Thank you.
All right, Tom, thank you for that question. 813-239-9663 if you'd like to join this conversation. We have Richard in South Shore. You're on the air.
Yes, I don't want to dispute the fellow, but I'm fairly certain that you don't have to do all that paperwork when an individual sells a gun. I'm quite sure that is what they call the gun show loophole, because you can go to a gun show as a private individual, carry your gun around, and just sell it to somebody at the show. Or you can, you know, advertise it online, meet somebody somewhere and sell it. And I don't know that you're required to get identification or paperwork. I've never really heard that. Another thing, I own several firearms, and I hear the guy talk about the Louisville Slugger. Well, you know, for instance, if I'm riding my bicycle in a place that could be potentially unsafe, which that could be anywhere, you know, i.e. the Pinellas Trail or someplace like that where they were getting mugged and robbed, you can't carry a Louisville Slugger in your pants without arousing. some kind of conversation. And also you might not be equipped to use it, but that's why somebody might want a pistol instead of a baseball bat. Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for those thoughts. I want to remind people that we're listening to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm taking your calls. We're talking a lot right now about guns and maybe potentially gun laws, new gun laws that might come up in the Florida legislature starting in March. And the number to call in is 813-239-9663. You can email dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. And we have Peter in Clearwater on the line. Hi, Peter.
Hello. My thing is that we keep talking about everything, but guns are the issue. The availability of guns is what makes this a health emergency in this country practically. And everybody says the right to bear arms and this. We're the only society in the world that has that claim of the right to bear arms. Try to get a gun permit in Israel, a country that seems to be constantly at war or permanently in a state of emergency because of terrorism and real threats of terrorism. Okay, try to. It was on 60 Minutes or some show similar to that. The training required, the continuous education and retraining every 3 months, the psychological, psychiatric, and medical exams to pass in order to carry a gun. And yet here we consider it as some kind of, man, oh man, don't you talk about my gun. I was talking to my neighbor who doesn't even own a gun, and he still couldn't get over it. And he has school-age kids, and he still, oh, but the right to have a gun. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing you might suggest, and I'm not saying you haven't thought about this, but it does say, the U.S. Constitution does say that the right to bear arms is enshrined in the Constitution, but it also said because of a well-regulated militia, so...
Thank you. And all these literalists, all these constitutional traditionalists, I'm not sure what they're called, Scalia, et cetera, who interpret the Constitution, what part of the militia did they not interpret? They only interpret the right to bear. They don't interpret the militia. The militia has nothing to do with, man, I don't know. I'm on fire about this stuff.
Have some chamomile tea or something.
This guy killed this child in California mistakenly. Why? Because he had a gun. If he didn't have a gun, he'd have to go up there with a knife and not mistake the identity. Anyway. Appreciate you, man. You guys are the best.
Peter, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. 813-239-9663. Dawn is calling in from Anna Maria Island. Hi, Dawn. Before you start, how's the red tide?
Well, it's not gone.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to get you off track, but I was curious. All right. Go ahead.
No worries. Well, I was glad that you were interested in having a woman's opinion because... as I call it, we've recently had what I refer to as the Punani tsunami, not the blue wave or the red wave. Lots of women going to be making decisions in what goes on in legislation. But to get to my point is we have a systemic problem in this country. Violence on television, violence in video games. People want to blame the guns when we have a much deeper issue.
Okay.
Are you there?
I am here. Why don't you tell me what you're talking about? What's the deeper issue?
Well, obviously we have a deeper issue in that our culture is based on violence. You can turn on at television any day of the week, cable, regular television, it doesn't matter. We have violence against women, violence against children. Something that's I think we're just being desensitized on a regular basis.
Yeah, and I think that it's hard to dispute what you just said. I think, I mean, I completely agree with you. What about the idea, though, that in a culture that's desensitized to violence, the more guns there are or the easier it is to access guns, that could be bad news?
Of course it's bad news. It becomes a perfect storm at that point.
Okay.
But when you're talking about alleviating violence, I mean, violence actually has gone down in some areas and obviously has been exacerbated by drug use and the amount of drugs that are coming into the country, opiate use. We can go on for a long time about all the little common denominators with violence. But as pertaining to guns, we really need to definitely take guns out of the hands of people who don't have any common sense or have mental health issues. One gentleman was speaking about the gun show loophole. Look at the people that are going there. They're probably going to be the same people that voted for Trump.
Well, I definitely don't thank you for that call. And I don't think there should be a political litmus test, of course, for whether someone has the right to own a gun. But I get where you're going. I think people are getting where you're going. Thank you for that call, Don. And I do hope that the red tide goes away soon. Let's go now to Pasco County. And we have on the phone Army. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes.
Hi. What would you like to say?
Well, with regard to purchasing a gun, if the person is unlicensed and not prohibited from receiving or possessing a firearm, may purchase a firearm from an out-of-state source, provided the transfer takes place through a federal firearms licensee in his or her state of residence. That's the federal law.
Okay. And maybe a deeper question is, do you think that that's a good system? Is it catching all the potential problems that it should be?
No, it doesn't. The reason being is that over time there has been sort of a quasi deregulation at the federal level, transferring it to the state level. And with that comes, political influence at the state level. When you take a look at ALEC with open carry in various states where the legislature has listened to them and are probably members of ALEC. No, it doesn't.
Okay.
And also there's mental health problems that need to be addressed. And for Trump, if this is true, signing a law permitting for people who are mentally unbalanced to possess firearms, that is insane.
I can't recall what you're talking about. I'm sorry. Can you remind me?
What was that, sir?
What is that that you're referring to?
What was it? The ALEC?
No, I'm sorry, that Trump signed a law.
Oh, there was the law passed that would permit people with mental problems to possess firearms. I think this was passed maybe 2 months ago.
I'm in an awkward situation that I don't recall that. I apologize. So thank you.
Because I can't really tell you the details as to what the bill number was or anything, but if that is true, because I can't verify it having read anything other than headlines and, comments on it, it's a serious problem.
Well, thanks for your thoughts, Army. I want to say thank you for calling in, and I want to thank all of the people who called in and texted and emailed during the show today, and I want to thank our guest Kofi from earlier in the show. If you're still on hold, or if you'd like to leave a voicemail if you have thoughts about these topics, give me a call at 813-238-8001, extension 114, and I'll play your message next show. You can also join the conversation online at WMNF.org/news or on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineer Alvaro Monte Alegre and DT and our phone answerer Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. I'm the host of WMNF News Midpoint Monday. Tomorrow at noon, your hero Mark Bureau will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned now for John Gilmore. Coming up in executive session, that's after NPR headlines, and you're listening to WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.